The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome in to a post-bye week version as we begin the second half of the season with head coach John Fox here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Good to be with you. You're back. You're ready to roll.
Refreshed.
Yes, refreshed. Second get a little tune-up? A little tune-up?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Looks like your players did, too, so a bunch of guys back today, huh?
Well, that's always encouraging. I think, you know, we've got both starting guards were at practice today, our starting punt returner as well as slot receiver Eddie Royal. Eddie Goldman, we haven't seen since Philadelphia, was out rumbling around, so... that's just to name a few.
Yeah, I want to begin with Eddie because rumbling around is about right. I mean, he's itching. I mean, he was very excited about, A, his weight loss in the off season. He felt it really translated and transferred in a positive way for him playing defensive tackle for you. So I think he's probably out of everybody. Not that anybody's not ready to get back, but he in particular is really geeked about coming back.
No doubt. I think it's hard to stand on the sidelines and watch, and your team's not having great success. So, obviously, if you're a competitor, it's hard to take, and you look forward to get back and helping your teammates.
Funny thing is, just the tone of today, it's funny what one win does, because just hearing the playback from the locker room, and I wasn't in there all day today, but just hearing certain guys, they all want to come back now. That win got everybody revved up.
No doubt. Yeah, you know, I think winning breeds confidence, and I think our guys understood on a big stage what it was going to take, and we played really our only complete game of the season, full 60 minutes in all three phases.
Well, now you set a new bar, so you start building from there. Funny thing about injuries, you know, coaches don't like talking about them because it really doesn't matter in the big picture. You got to go play, as you always say. But at the same time, for the player going through it, it can be a real lonely experience, and not a lot of guys really handle that well, because if they really are competitive, those working out, those rehab assignments, all that, while your guys are on the field, your boys are playing, having fun, it's really tough.
It's very difficult. You know, we've got guys that are on IR that are in there rehabbing, guys that, you know, are going through certain different stages, whether it's 4 to 6 weeks or, you know, 3 to 5 weeks. You know, whatever that setback is, it's never easy, and it's a lot of hard work.
Well, and some of these guys had to stay, right, during the bye week. They had to get treatment, they're not going on any vacations.
No, you do not want to be on the list, all right, during the bye week. The list is, it's injured players. We have treatment times, and they have to be here.
Yeah. Now, is there anybody that, and you're not going to name names, but did they try and politic a little bit? Because now with the bye week, given what it is, used to be a practice a couple, three times a week, but collective bargaining agreement, really, you don't do that. So are guys begging?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, anybody that has kids understands that, you know, whether it's no homework or let me do it later, or don't you have a test tomorrow? Well, yeah, I've got it down. You know, you're going to hear it all. And so, you know, for all those listeners that have children, they get it, and of course they do.
Yeah, and you give them, you tell them what's up. I can picture that conversation real well. Kyle Long was one of them too here, and you mentioned the guards, and certainly their talents are unbelievable as players. Both of them Pro Bowlers, and Josh Sitton and Kyle Long. But man, the play as you went into that bye week of the two guards that replaced them, and Ted Larson and Cush, man, it gives you a lot of confidence about what they can do. Maybe these guys aren't quite ready to come back yet, and maybe these guys can step right in.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, again, we talk next man up, and it truly is. You're going to go again, going against, you know, Minnesota Vikings, you know, the number one defense in the league. You know, they stepped up in a big way. They're both veteran guys and good teammates, and they both played very well.
And then you got those nagging injuries, those muscles, you know, those muscle injuries. It's not broken bones or turned ankles. It's the hamstrings and stuff like that you still have to be careful for, and you're counting on guys, and there are plenty of guys on the roster that have had them the last couple of years. You just hope that they're ready to go and not have to deal with that once you get them cleared for a game, and then, bam, it happens again.
Yeah, I think, you know, Bryce Callahan comes to mind. You know, he'd been nursing that, and, you know, he'd been in and out of games. And so we just kind of shut him down and did not play him against Minnesota, you know, knowing the bye weeks this week. And, you know, really we came off, you know, the week before was even a mini bye, you know, with the Green Bay game, you know, a couple weeks ago. So Hopefully he's healthy and he looked good today.
And Eddie Royal. I mean, Eddie Royal would be a big return. And Marquise Wilson. Marquise Wilson, the 21-day clock, as you intimated last week, was going to start up. And so he's back out there as well. Don't know what it means in the bigger picture, but there's a veteran receiver who can get downfield.
Yeah, he had a good week, the bye week. He was one of the guys on the list, so he was here working. And, our medical people thought he did an outstanding job. He did practice today, watched him, and he did look good. So he's the second guy that started the season on PUP. We got Pernell McPhee back, which was a good addition, and we think Marquise will have that same impact.
Well, you know, from a coach's point of view, I know you're in the rhythm. Now, unless the NFL changes things up at some point, you got noon starts the rest of the way, which is a coach's dream, right? You love that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you like consistency, and players like that. They get into a schedule, and, I think, we've got 7 of our 8 remaining games are NFC conference games. We only have 1 AFC opponent, and that's the Titans here in a couple weeks. So, things set up. We've got another go-round of our division. You know, we are 2-1 in our division so far, so we get another crack at, our division opponents. And so it's there for the taking. We just got to make sure we answer.
And where I was going with this is, they had a week off, they had the mini bye, and now tomorrow they get off because you're back on schedule. Did you pull your hair out a little bit? Because you like being out there. You like coaching.
Yeah, I think, it still worked out pretty good. We went out and worked out some of these guys. They practiced that, hadn't done it for, 5 or 6 weeks in some cases. And then, they have a day of recovery. So they come in. They're here. They're getting treatment. They're doing things necessary to heal their bodies, and then we form back up Wednesday for a practice.
I know it's not 90 degrees down there, but you're going down to Florida, so it could be mid-70s for all we know in Tampa. Does that conversation start about hydration already? I know it's kind of silly to hear for people, but, you have to account for it.
It does. We talked to them today. Our sports science people talked to our players really in their weight room workout today, and they understand that. We were there late last season, even later than this, and it was plenty warm. So the guys that were here get it, and that word travels fast.
Yeah, especially young players, because they probably think they're invincible, right?
Yep, some cases.
In their 20s, for sure.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Osweiler setting up a pass to the right side. Jarrell Freeman's got him, and he gobbles him up. Brought him down near the 8-yard line. No chance at all. Well read as Lamar Miller is dropped for a 6-yard loss.
That was earlier in the season. Jarrell Freeman, the Xfinity, we're going to call him player of the first half of the season, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. I did an informal poll today on my own in the press room after you left. They said, hey.
Those are the best guys.
Hey, right. It's the polling season until tomorrow night, right? So I said, okay, everybody, just quick hand, who's the best player in the Bears the first half of the season? Almost unanimous. There was a few Jordan Howards in there, but it was Jarrell Freeman. Consistency.
It's a good pick.
And yeah, so I went with Jarrell Freeman for good reason.
Good job, Jeff.
Yeah, not too bad.
Chose wisely.
I didn't weigh in, but I trust the fellas, right? So 5th in tackles in the NFL right now. And he's played, here's the interesting thing, he's played all but 6 defensive snaps in that first half, man. So you talk about a guy who's sturdy and getting it done, nicked or not, he's in there for you.
Yeah, he's been solid. I think he's brought some leadership. He's got some experience. He does have a chip, kind of where he started in the process and where he is today. But he was definitely a good get by Ryan Pace and the personnel staff in the offseason.
You mentioned a chip. Can you get on both sides of the ball 11 chips on 11 shoulders, so 22 for the game? I mean, can you do that? Is that always there? And if it's not, can you put it there somehow, some way?
Yeah, I think, that's all part of motivating, whether you're a position coach, a coordinator, or even the head coach. I think, this is a blue-collar game, and it does take passion to play it consistently. And, right now we're trying to get that started for the second half of the season.
I'll put you on a spot a little bit in a long career. Do you ever recall putting a chip on somebody's shoulder that you're pretty proud of, that chip really became something for the player and turned him into an animal that he didn't know he had before in him?
Well, I think, I go back to my Giants days. Jesse Armstead was a 7th-round pick and kind of started his career in special teams and became a Pro Bowl linebacker. Mike Strahan, he was a 2nd-round pick, kind of a journeyman player, and then, became the all-time, kind of sack leader for the Giants, or at least close. He broke the single-season record in one season that we were there. So. And he's had a pretty good TV
right,
career.
He's a superstar, megastar. Can really do anything he wants. How do you put a chip on a guy like that as a 2nd-round pick? I mean, he's already talented.
Well, I think, you know, there's some guys that come into the league in second-round picks that are bust, that, you know, it doesn't happen for them right away. And, you know, in Michael's case, it was a lot of hard work. He became an outstanding technician, had unbelievable leverage. And he wasn't the fastest guy or the biggest guy, but really studied the game and became a real student of the game.
So when you're in the process of interviewing players when they come out of the draft and so forth, are you doing a lot of listening in addition to watching tape and so forth to see if you even like the guy, but are you doing a lot of listening when he's answering questions to see if there is a manageable chip waiting to be put on the shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times with successful people, sometimes it's more will than skill. And so I think you do try to measure that. Like I said, this is not an easy game to show up every day to practice. I tell people all the time that, you know, these guys, you know, they get paid to practice. They would all play for nothing, you know, to play the game. The hard part is the training camp, the off-season conditioning, a lot of the preparation that goes into the game. Those are the hard days.
Well, I had a couple guys today, and then for our Bears Game Night Live show last night, they mic'd up Sheriff McManus and Josh Bellamy, and it was the best I've heard in probably a decade. Honestly, I'm not blowing smoke. It was that good. They were that good on the mics, right, on the mic'd up during their game. And then I had them for a future feature, you know, and they cracked me up. But the passion of these two guys, even to just spend 25, and who wouldn't want to spend 25 minutes with Jeff Joniak, right?
Yeah.
But they were willing participants. They just had fun even doing that. I mean, these guys are hidden gems, in my opinion. I had no idea Sherrick had that kind of personality on the field because he's such a quiet gentleman off the field. And Bellamy, he's crazy. Like, he loves this game.
Well, they're a lot of fun to be around. And, you know, you come and do this every day, and like I said, it is hard work, and these guys earn every penny. You know, you want guys that are willing to work hard and also do it enthusiastically, and both those guys are right up there when you start measuring that.
Okay, we can talk about all the players coming back, but the players who have been playing now are more experienced than they were when the season began. And I think of one guy in particular, Cravon LeBlanc. And he's used in special teams. He's becoming a big role player on the defense as well as nickel and working on the outside, you know, against the Vikings. So while you're doing this, you're cultivating some future guys that you see as a part of a bigger plan, right?
Yeah, I think he was a good get. You know, we claimed him, you know, on the 53-man at the beginning of the season, that, you know, from New England. You know, he's got excellent ball skills. It was a thing that we didn't know a lot about until, you know, watching him practice and prepare and play. You know, and he loves the game. He's worked very hard. He's with that Donatello, you know, extra time and above the normal time here in the building. And he's got a great passion to be great, and he's getting there slowly but surely.
This question for football reporters is almost like the first snow for television reporters. Everybody's out for the first inch that, you know, falls. But, you know, we're getting towards that conversation about the rookie wall with players. How do you answer those questions typically, and do you feel it's real?
Well, I think, you know, what it is, you know, you got to remember these guys in one season, they'll play 12 or 13 games. You know, right now, they're already past that, you know, when you count the preseason. And, you know, when we start making the playoffs and do that regularly, you know, you start adding those games up, it's a 2-mile run and not a 1-mile run. So some of that wall is understandable because of the length of the race and how you train and what you're used to training your whole career. And your first year in the NFL is very hard. So it established that wall a long time ago as far as the rookies making that adjustment. And so, you know, we've learned as coaches to, you know, kind of refresh guys, recover guys a little bit better. Then I think there's a lot more mental training that goes into it as well that, you know, to get guys through it.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
This is just getting back into the flow of things and contributing. As long as I can contribute to the team and, you know, bring what I can to the table, then that'll be it. I mean, that'll be like the most I can do, you know, just give what I can.
That is Eddie Goldman, the big defensive tackle, working his way back from his ankle sprain, hoping to make his return in Tampa next Sunday against the Bucs. Here with John Fox in our remaining moments. We touched on it for those of you just joining us. Where's he at?
Yeah, I think he looked pretty good today. You know, a lot of it, you know, he's missed a lot of time playing football. And so it's not just the injury now. There's some rust involved as far as just the, you know, the quickness of your reactions and the feel and mirroring of blocks. You know, so Today was in shorts. You know, it was a lighter type workout. They have tomorrow off. They'll come back Wednesday. And, you know, we're expecting big things from Eddie. I think he was off to a good start, played really well in the first two ball games. Unfortunately, got injured against Philadelphia. You know, I think Will Sutton has stepped in and done a nice job. Guys have, you know, kind of gotten used to each other. So, but it'll be really good to have him back.
Yeah, it'll be really good to see all the projected starters that you had. I mean, other guys are fighting to keep jobs, though, too. It's not going to be simple as that, but to have everybody back and see where you go with it.
Well, exactly. I think, it was last week against Minnesota was the first time that we had all our captains up for a game, that we didn't have a temporary captain that had to be named. So, getting Jay back obviously was a big lift, and he was the final one that hadn't played since Philadelphia, and it was good to have him back, and he'll just get better and along with the rest of the guys.
Is there a lot of football left? I mean, it is really a lot of football. Really, you know.
Well, it's just like a game. We're at halftime.
Yeah, honestly. But you know, I always say, well, yeah, the record is not where you want it. But, you know, in football, even if you go into December rolling, I mean, December is your month. You need more than December in your case, but December is when we start separating.
Well, we're getting ready to start the second half kickoff. And, you know, we still have eight games to go. You can be as good as 10-6.
Here we go again. Don't you give me that 2-14 baloney. I don't want to hear that.
It's what it is, mathematically. All right, even San Diego State, all right, PE major, has that figured out.
Right, I got you. Yeah. But, you know, if you say that to those guys, I'm sure you did, but it would make me angry to hear that if I'm a player, right?
I think, you know, it's real, and they appreciate you being real with them.
With that being said, you have no doubt with the self-scouting and what your staff, and there are plenty of guys analyzing tape and giving you trends and so forth. What do you learn? What have you learned so far?
Well, I think, you know, part of the reason where we're at is, we've done a pretty good job, even through multiple quarterbacks, yardage-wise on offense, and, you know, some key areas on downs. But, you know, I think the red area has been our biggest issue, along with getting into the scoring zone, all right, the point zone. You know, I think that's critical. Early on, Connor Barth did not, you know, he missed three field goals. He's been really aces lately. So, he's gotten more consistent. We just have to give him more opportunities. You have to get to that 35, 33, 32-yard line to get in field goal range. And then, you know, once we get into the red area, you know, the 22 and in, that's a four-point swing. We have to score touchdowns and not kick those short field goals.
Well, your running game's elevating on the fly. And I can't wait to see what Jeremy Langford offers as well, you know, with Jordan Howard, who I feel is only going to get better as the season goes on. But in terms of having red zone weaponry, you got the size of Alshon. You got Zach Miller. Eddie's a good red zone guy. Most of his touchdowns in his career have been the red zone. You have the weapons.
No doubt. You know, I think losing Kevin White, he was another big body that was down there. So it's not been smooth sailing by any stretch, but I think you have to have balance down there. You have to be able to run the ball, and I think getting our running backs whole again, I think, will be helpful. Same thing with our offensive line, getting our two guards in there. You know, we started the season with the, you know, rookie center.
Can we talk about him quick?
Yes, we can. He's a fun guy to talk about because he's an outstanding.
Nobody talks about this though. Yeah. Now he arguably, you know, you can make a lot of cases here for this guy. That can't be easy what he has done here so far, and he is getting really good. That's a rookie that's making an impact.
Well, no doubt. I think the scouting people in the league are seeing that and. Giving our scouting department credit for, you know, taking Cody where we did. Some people even had him, you know, if they had to redo the first round, some people had him in the first round. So, but he's, you know, a real high football character guy. You know, he loves the game, and, we're just very fortunate to have him. He's going to be an outstanding player moving forward.
A word on the Bucs. Jameis Winston, big quarterback. They got him moving out a little bit on boots and so forth. He's not just a pocket quarterback. He's not a guy you can mess with. And Mike Evans is a mismatch for everybody.
Yeah, he's a big, long guy. You know, he was their number one guy a year ago, and you know, it started, you know, this part of the season that way as well. So, you know, they've got a big physical offensive line. I think you talk about Jameis, so he can make guys miss. He does evade the rush pretty well. You know, they got a couple of young, speedy receivers as well as running backs. So they're young as well, and very formidable opponent that we know a little bit about because we played him last year.
All right, John, we'll let you go. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Glad to have you back. And coming up next, Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator, joins the program.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
It was good. It was a fun day just seeing everybody in the huddle and just being out there again, just running around. For me personally, catching the ball, running some routes, it was a good day.
That's Eddie Royal, Bears veteran wide receiver, working through a toe injury. Hopefully get back soon, maybe as soon as Sunday in Tampa. Welcome back to the program here from PNC Studio. Dowell Loggins, thanks for joining us after the bye week. When the fellas start getting back after a win, they felt good. Everybody loved how the team played. I'm sure everybody's itching to get back now, and just being back on that practice field gets everybody's engine revved up. How'd you look at things today?
It was good to have everyone out there and get back to work. You know, there's a lot of things, even after a win, that we need to improve on. So it was good to get back to work.
So time off, but, you know, it's not always time off. You got a plan, too. So I'm sure you did a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, it was the bye is always a good time to do some self-scout and reflect back, but in the back of your mind, you know Tampa's Monday's coming quicker than you'd like, and you got to get it started on them because they're a good football team as well.
So I asked Coach Fox this too, and it was more defensively oriented, I would guess. But from your perspective on the first half, what did you learn about your offense, given all the turmoil with injury-related issues?
It's a resilient group that they believe in each other. You saw the value that number six brings when he's on the field on third down, which obviously helped a lot, because what it does is when you can convert third down and being 50, really we're 7 of 13, because I take out the 4-minute one we had to ice at the end of the game. When you can do that, it's going to give your running backs more carries, and I thought that was the big point of the game for us.
Right. And would that, in your opinion, in terms of how you'd like to call a game, is that your wheelhouse, that particular type of game?
You'd love to be able to play that way every week, where you can control the line of scrimmage versus a really good defense, maybe the best in the NFL. As far as, you know, be able to control line of scrimmage. But really the thing that was different this week for us than in the past is how much we converted, how many successful third down conversions we had. When you can do that, you can, in control line of scrimmage, you can run the ball, you can throw your play actions, and you have the freedom then to open up the whole playbook.
Yeah, and then the next level of that is if third down isn't working the way you like, you've got to get creative and find other ways, right? Other ways.
And that's what happens is then you start to rely on the pass a little bit more than what you'd like, you know, and then the quarterbacks have to be accurate and throw a timing. The offensive line has to protect. But you can become one-dimensional really quick.
What's the art of a red zone offense?
The timing and the space changes tremendously. So the balls have to – when you're throwing the football, you have to be extremely accurate. You have to be on time because there's no second window. And there's a lot – like when you go around one of my offseason or during the bye week, one of the things we did was – I think I watched 376 red zone touchdowns from the 12 in to this point. So I went through and looked at every one. There's a lot of off-schedule plays made. You know, you could look at the guy in Green Bay running around making plays in the red area. You know, it becomes difficult to run the football because now the defense has no vertical threat. So they sit on the in line and just play the run. You know, and all of a sudden the free safety is involved in all the run schemes. So you try to find different ways to be creative and put guys in space, and that's where space and timing is really what changes on that part of the field.
Was there a lot of similarities in those 376, you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a copycat league.
Yeah.
So everyone in the league, we weren't the only team studying red area offense. I'm sure most of the teams in the league were. And really, you got to find out where the red area starts. For some defenses, it's 12. Some of them, it's 14. It all starts somewhere in that area, and it's an area that we need to improve on. And to help us score more points and not kick as many field goals. So I think it was a successful week, and we'll take a couple things and hopefully use them down the line.
And you know, the quarterbacks have to have that ability to, as you say, get off, you know, make those off schedule plays, but also the touch, you know, on those fades and the lead, you know, go up and get it type plays too. That's all timing. You know, so those are things that clearly the excellence of the quarterback is going to make that happen more. Hold that thought, because I want to talk about inside the 30 or maybe just outside the 20, because those matter too. We're with Dowell Loggins, Bears offensive coordinator, and you can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations from October 24th through January 1st. Donations benefit the Salvation Army.
The Bears Coaches Show with offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
I feel like I don't want to be on that list anymore. I feel like I want to play. I want to be right next to Charles Leno slapping him five when Jordan Howard runs for 70 yards on a play. And there's no reason I can't be and I shouldn't be out there.
That is Kyle Long trying to work his way back from shoulder and tricep injuries as he gets his teammates back around him. He gets a little itchy, right? Kyle Long is not a guy you want to have just sitting around because he'll drive a coach nuts, not to mention his teammates, right?
Absolutely.
In a good way. I say that in a loving way, Kyle.
Yeah, in a great way. We're excited about getting him on the field so he'll stop annoying us.
That's for sure. He's got ants in his pants. Three-time Pro Bowler, one of several Bears. But I brought it up with John before you got here, though. The play of Ted Larson and Eric Kush were really good in that Viking game, so it gives you more to work with.
Yeah, Coach. The one thing Coach Fox always talks about, and we've dealt with it more so this year than any other year, you know, in my NFL career, which is 12 years, is next man up mentality. And you know, those guys stepped up and played a really good defense and performed well enough to help us get a win on a big Monday night divisional game.
All right. Well, when we went to the break, we were talking about red zone and how the challenges and the positives of it. So when you get just outside the red zone, inside the 30, that counts too, and those are evaluations. Are there different plays for inside the 30 versus inside the red zone, given that it's only 10 yards, but scoring outside that red zone also eliminates some of those tougher decisions, tougher plays where those one-window options are clearly dissipated because you have more room.
Yeah, and the we call that the fringe zone, that the area from the 50 to 35 where when you study the league, that's where a lot of people are taking their play-action shots and throwing go routes and giving their guys opportunity to throw for opportunity balls and doing and those type things. So, and we game plan that differently than we get a game plan from the 35 to the 15 and the 15 in.
How has that been performing for you inside the 30?
Inside the 30?
Yeah, or that the area that you just talked about.
It's still inside the 30. The area we still have to continue to prove on is third down.
Okay.
Even inside those things that's where we've been able to move the football really well in first and second down, the whole field. But the third down conversions is really where you gotta continue to get, because we feel like as an offense we're really good once we get to the goal line, and once we can put our goal line offense on the field. But we gotta our message this last week was let's get to the goal line, let's get to the 2 yard line, and be able to put our big people on the field and run the ball in.
Jordan Howard, so reviewing that 69-yard run over and over again, the first thing that popped into my head is he really sticks to the point of attack. And Tom Thayer, my broadcast partner, is always harping on that. As an offensive lineman, you love when a back sticks to the point of attack more often than not. And just the vision to see a safety Harrison Smith coming and, boom, just slither through a little hole. And it's 69 yards later at 20 miles an hour, according to NFL.com, the fastest of any running back in Week 8 last week, by the way. He ran 20 miles an hour for that 69 yards, or at his top speed. How about that? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I
don't know how they come up with this stuff, but I saw it, and I said, well, it came from the NFL, so, right, it's next-gen stats.
I wanted to get to 22 miles per hour, so he scored.
Right.
You know, the guys up front did a nice job. It was the only zone dog that Minnesota brought all night. Mm. Very uncharacteristic of them. That's not what they do. We caught him in a zone dog, and we had the outside zone call, which is a good a good scheme versus that, and our guys executed well, and Jordan made Harrison, he broke a tackle and got in the open field and, you know, obviously showed some burst.
Make a case he's the best safety in the NFL, too.
Absolutely. I wouldn't argue.
Yeah, right. But back to that little hole, the vision to see it, though, is something you can't teach, right?
He has reads and keys that he definitely follows.
Okay.
And, you know, in every run scheme. But those are the things that make good players what they are. And there's some things. Once you get that, the ability to make guys miss and be able to run through an arm tackle, and you know, and get to the second level and create explosives is what makes running backs unique.
He and Jeremy Langford, in fairness, are different types of backs.
Yes.
So to Does this change the thinking of a Jeremy Lankford when he sees the success in the offense that Jordan's experiencing in terms of what he sees and how he works the line of scrimmage?
To me, the most important thing for Jeremy is he's just got to get healthy and get out there and be able to play for us. And Jeremy has a different skill set than Jordan does. And we're excited to be able to use both of them once we get both of them healthy and play together for the first time and be together and be healthy, you know, in one backfield.
And you know what you're getting in Kadeem? You're getting physicality. So that's a good trio.
And energy, and the guy practices his tail off. And when he does get in, he brings great passion. And I always enjoy watching
him. Me too. Well, he's one of my favorites. Absolutely.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
No, I just work. I mean, I had a down moment, but it's just like I said, you got to have faith.
That's Marquise Wilson hoping to come back here. The 21-day countdown is underway for him to come off the physically unable to perform list after a refracture in his foot in June. So hopefully he'll get back with you with Dowell Loggins. So you're a little bit of a psychologist, too, with players. And how do you keep him active mentally as he nears a possible return and keep his level of excitement where it needs to be?
Well, Q's done a very good job of being around, even though he's been hurt, and being involved with the wide receivers. He helps Coach CJ a lot on the field with rotation. He's done a bunch of different things like that. Now that he's allowed to do a little bit more and we can kind of see where he's at, you know, he's an intrinsically motivated guy, and he wants to be out there as much as anyone helping his team.
Nobody gets asked – excuse me, let me rephrase this. Nobody asks me more about any player – than Jay Cutler. Everywhere you go, even all week, you know, just being with friends and family and so forth, where's he? Everyone wants to know where he's at. He's like the big puzzle that everybody wants to put together or figure out.
Well, I think he showed the football world where he was at when he came out and played a very inspired football game. And a lot of credit's going to be given to our ability to run the football and do different things. But in my mind, the storyline of that game was Jay played inspired football and his teammates followed his lead. He was unbelievable talking to his teammates on the sideline, just the fist pumps after, like, as the game's going on, so in tune to the game. And I think that it was really important to him to get out there, and he hadn't played football in a long time, and just get healthy and be able to go out there and help us win a game. It's been frustrating for him. He's been phenomenal with Brian Hoyer on the sideline, helping him get ready, helping me and talking to me during game day. We interact a lot on the phone still during the games, even while Brian was playing. And I know the injury, not being able to play, really bothered Jay, but because he felt like he couldn't help the football team. And just to be able to get back out there and play inspired football and lead this team to a huge win for us, and it was inspiring to everyone.
Can you now look at this second half of the season, like you say, he's playing inspired, as a huge challenge that he can go and help this team get to somewhere that maybe people don't think they can go?
We're just trying to get win number three, and I know that's Jay's focus, is what everything we can do to beat Tampa, and that's all we're thinking about, and that's all we can think about. We're not in a position to think about anything more than that, and I think that that's what's on Jay's mind. I think that's what he's trying to preach to his teammates and trying to just keep the focus on that.
All right, so this last question for you then. This team has had a lot of difficulty defensively. There could be some good matchups for you here, but the number one thing, you always got to block Gerald McCoy. It really begins and ends with that.
Yeah, he's as good at three technique as there is in the NFL, and he can wreck a game and he can change a game. You know that they've got a good, you know, a nucleus of defensive players, and they'll be getting healthy as well. They played on Thursday. They're gonna have more time to get ready, but it all starts up front for those guys as well. That front seven's can be tough. You have your hand full, and so our guards are gonna have to play well.
All right, thanks for joining us. Always love it. Dowell Loggins, offensive coordinator, earlier on the program. John Fox on Coming Out of the Break.
Well, that's always encouraging, I think. You know, we've got both starting guards. We're at practice today. Our starting punt returner, as well as slot receiver, Eddie Royal. You know, Eddie Goldman, we haven't seen since Philadelphia, was out rumbling around. So, that's just to name a few.
Yeah, I want to begin with Eddie, because rumbling around is about right. I mean, he's itching. I mean, he was very excited about A, his weight loss in the offseason. He felt it really translated and transferred in a positive way for him playing defensive tackle for you. So I think he's probably out of everybody. Not that anybody's not ready to get back, but he in particular is really geeked about coming back.
No doubt. I think it's hard to stand on the sidelines and watch, and your team's not having great success. So obviously, if you're a competitor, it's hard to take, and you look forward to get back and helping your teammates.
Funny thing is, just the tone of today, it's funny what one win does, because that just hearing the playback from the locker room, and I wasn't in there all day today, but just hearing certain guys, they all want to come back now. That win got everybody revved up.
No doubt. Yeah, you know, I think winning breeds confidence, and I think our guys understood on a big stage what it was going to take, and we played really our only complete game of the season, full 60 minutes in all three phases.
Well, now you set a new bar, so you start building from there. Funny thing about injuries, you know, coaches don't like talking about them because it really doesn't matter in the big picture. You got to go play, as you always say. But at the same time, for the player going through it, it can be a real lonely experience, and not a lot of guys really handle that well, because if they really are competitive, those working out, those rehab assignments, all that, while your guys are on the field, your boys are playing, having fun, it's really tough.
It's very difficult. You know, we've got guys that are on IR that are in there rehabbing, guys that, you know, are going through certain different stages, whether it's 4 to 6 weeks or, you know, 3 to 5 weeks, whatever that setback is, it's never easy, and it's a lot of hard work.
Well, and some of these guys had to stay, right, during the bye week. They had to get treatment, they're not going on any vacations.
No, you do not want to be on the list, all right, during the bye week. The list is, it's injured players. We have treatment times, and they have to be here.
Now, is there anybody and you're not going to name names, but did they try and politic a little bit? Because now with the bye week, given what it is, it used to be you practice a couple, three times a week, but collective bargaining agreement, really, you don't do that. So are guys begging?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, anybody that has kids understands that, you know, whether it's no homework or let me do it later, or don't you have a test tomorrow? Well, yeah, I've got it down. You know, you're going to hear it all. And so, you know, for all those listeners that have children, they get it, and of course they do.
Yeah, and you give them, you tell them what's up. I can picture that conversation real well. Kyle Long was one of them too here, and you mentioned the guards, and certainly their talents are unbelievable as players. Both of them Pro Bowlers, and Josh Sitton and Kyle Long. But man, the play as you went into that bye week of the two guards that replaced them, and Ted Larson and Cush. Man, it gives you a lot of confidence about what they can do. Maybe these guys aren't quite ready to come back yet, and maybe these guys can step right in.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, again, we talk next man up, and it truly is. You're going to go against, you know, Minnesota Vikings, you know, the number one defense in the league. You know, they stepped up in a big way. They're both veteran guys and good teammates, and they both played very well.
And then you got those nagging injuries, those muscles, you know, those muscle injuries. It's not broken bones or turned ankles. It's the hamstrings and stuff like that you still have to be careful for, and you're counting on guys, and there are plenty of guys on the roster that have had them the last couple of years. You just hope that they're ready to go and not have to deal with that once you get them cleared for a game, and then, bam, it happens again.
Yeah, I think, you know, Bryce Callahan comes to mind. You know, he'd been nursing that, and, you know, he'd been in and out of games, and so we just kind of shut him down and did not play him against Minnesota, you know, knowing the bye weeks this week. And, you know, really we came off, you know, the week before was even a mini bye, you know, with the Green Bay game, you know, a couple weeks ago. So hopefully he's healthy and he looked good today.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. That's going to wrap us up tonight. A reminder to give your biggest Little Bears fan the gift of exclusive access when they join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Join for free at chicagobears.com/kidscub. And we've got Bears Game Day Live, Bucks in Tampa, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sunday morning, 10:30 on Fox 32 in Chicago. And Sunday night, Bears Game Night Live at 10:30. I'll be there along with Tom Thayer and host Luke Canellis. That'll do it tonight for Coach Fox and Coach Loggins, Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, Keith Johnson. I'm Jeff Joniak. Have a great night, everybody, from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall.